Let's begin today with this. A paedophile father who received a record 238-year jail sentence was back behind bars yesterday on child pornography charges. Joseph McColgan, dubbed the Beast of Sligo, fled to England in 1995, having served just 9 years of his sentence. So will this highly dangerous man finally be put away for good? Labour's spokesperson for justice, Pat Rabbit, and Liam Herrick of the Irish Penal Reform Trust are on the line. You're both welcome to Lunchtime on Four. Pat Rabbit, could I begin with you? At least he's behind bars again.
Well, yes, he is. And obviously, it's a very serious matter. But I think it's important that, you know, we don't say that he got 238-year jail sentence. As I understand it, he got some 9 years served concurrently. You know, there are specified sentences for specifiable crimes. And it would appear that after serving his 9 years that he was entitled to release. And the question really that arises thereafter is whether he was appropriately monitored and whether the Garda Síochána or the British police had the necessary information.
And the necessary sentencing power on the part of the courts by the looks of it as well, because the judge said he expressed his frustration, as it says here, he could not lock him up for longer.
Yes, and that must mean that in this particular case, the judge formed the view that this is a dangerous man. Under our law, as I understand it, for possession of child pornography, I think the sentence is 5 years. So, this is an English case. I don't exactly know what the circumstances are, but quite clearly the judge formed the view that this is not just a question of possession, but that he is a dangerous man.
Well, I mean, he was jailed for raping and abusing, consistently raping his children for 2 decades, beating them with a black torn stick until they bled, and he got 9 years.
Well, that sounds like an appalling crime that nobody would want to think of any defence, but why he got 9 years in the first place, I can't answer that.
No, but it obviously leads us to the bigger question of the appropriateness of the sentence to the level of the crime, something which has been, you know, very much in the media in recent years. What sort of reform needs to happen?
Well, insofar as I recall it, the Minister for Justice did publish a pretty comprehensive discussion document on the management of sex offenders only last year. Now, he put it out to consultation thereafter, and I think the most recent exchanges that we had in the House, you know, he is awaiting the response of interested parties, presumably with a view to bringing further legislative proposals before the Dáil. The governing piece of legislation at the moment is probably the Provisions of Sex Offenders Act of 2001. And there are specific requirements there in terms of where an offender intends to leave the state and the imposition that there is on a Garda inspector in each Garda division to ensure that the movements of such a person are monitored and that he is satisfied that he doesn't constitute a danger to the public.
Liam Herrick, once again, we're stuck with this problem that Pat Rabbit has commented on again. You know, the appropriateness of the scale of the sentence to fit the crime. I mean, the total that this guy was given is 238 years, and he serves 9.
Well, I think as Pat has said out very clearly there, I think the public are understandably concerned when they see 238 years. But the 238 years is a misrepresentation of the nature of the sentence that was actually given in this case. There were concurrent sentences. So in real terms, Joseph McColgan was sentenced to 12 years, and he served 9 years, which is the standard remission. He gets 25% remission, which generally all prisoners get. And I think the reporting of the original sentence as 238 years gives rise to that kind of perception of this huge travesty, which is a little bit different from the reality.
Yeah, I know. We know no one can serve 238 years. We know that. But surely not sufficient.
Well, he was given a 12-year sentence for a number of different offences. And if you add them up, it really isn't appropriate to add them up in terms of giving a sense of what the judge actually gave. Now, the question of whether Joseph McCoffin should have got a more severe sentence at the first point of trial is a different question completely. And Irish law provides for a maximum sentence of life imprisonment for rape, and life sentences have been given to people in very serious rape cases on a number of occasions. It perhaps is worth considering that this conviction happened in the early 1990s, and I think our understanding of the impact of sexual offences, particularly on children, has changed very significantly since then. So I think that this case may very well be indicative of a time, and the values have changed since then. It also is, of course, important to remember that one of the reasons why sentences are given at a particular level in cases of child abuse is because convictions are notoriously difficult to obtain. And the defendant in this case originally pleaded not guilty, but pleaded guilty in the course of the trial, which may have been significant again in the sentence that was given. So, you know, there are a number of different complex factors around the sentence which need to be considered here.
Okay, well, we're talking about the severity of the sentence, you know, being appropriate to the case. Pat, you know, you're not familiar with some of the detail here, but it is spelt out. The children were battered with blackthorn sticks and carpet beaters until they bled. He often held their heads underwater. His wife was systematically beaten and intimidated every day of their married life. He began beating his son Gerard when he was 5 and once tried to have him to force him to have sex at the age of 9 with his 7-year-old sister. And that's just a taste of it.
Well, I don't know what you're asking me. You know, I mean, the brutality and...
Well, I'm asking you, if you were Minister for Justice, what would you do? You
know? The appalling character of that, you know, just is offensive to any civilised person. You know, back in 1995, from memory, I don't think we even had a sex offenders list. We have, as Liam Herrick said, come a long way since then. I imagine that this is, hopefully, a very exceptional case, and it very well may be that he should have got a higher sentence, and that in the exceptional cases, that it was open to the judge to make that decision. But I have to say that, generally speaking, I am not in favour of mandatory sentencing. I believe that a judge seized of a particular case in the courtroom is in the best position to make that judgment. That may not be popular, but I think it is important, because there are gradations and there are circumstances where sentences have to be calibrated to the particular circumstances. And, you know, be perfectly honest, if this fellow got 40 years, I would have no objection to that, given what you have described. But I think we have to be careful in, you know, accepting that a judge had the facts of this before him, and he made that decision for whatever reason.
Okay, Pat Roberts and Liam Herrick, thanks for being on the programme today.